And welcome to service here in St. John's. Oh, stuff is falling out already. Yeah, I got to make sure I clean my feet because some people put stuff under there. As I was mentioning to some of the people, I prepare service a month ahead of time, and I use this time to greet you and thank you for coming here. So welcome to St. John's. If there are any visitors, like Hazar, I forgot that I met you last year, so I will say hello again, and I think that's how you say your name, Hazar, yes? Perfect. If there are any visitors, come and see me. Let me know what you think of my service. Trish, don't throw any tomatoes at me, so I beg of you. I would like to, first of all, thank the session of St. John's for having the confidence in me to lead you in service here. Also, the minister and the worship and music committee. I took the opportunity to invite some people to listen to me, so first of all, I'd like to greet them. So, buongiorno, bienvenuto a questo servizio. Buenos dias y bienvenidos a este servicio. I don't see any of my Swahili friends here, but I will tell them anyway. Habari za asubirina karibu kwenye hidumi hai. And of course, for people in Quebec, bonjour et bienvenue à cet service ici à Saint-Jean. And of course, to all of you here in the sanctuary and those who are listening at home, welcome. We thank you for coming to support this ministry. I do have a few announcements. Reverend Adams is away on vacation. Is there anything that's new in here? No. If you do have some pastoral concerns, you can contact myself or Reverend Borgon, who is sitting on the last row. Anything that you need help with, just let me know, and I will make sure that it happens. Also, as we are going back to school, we are asking that children who are going to go on to university or any other colleges or things like this to please apply for the McRae Bursary. Reverend Adams will be away until August the 31st, I think. Now, there is one correction that I've been trying to make for the last 3 weeks. August the 30th is next Sunday, not August the 31st, as is printed in the bulletin. So when it says Reverend Borgon will leave service on August the 31st, he said he's coming. I told him, well, thank you very much. But there'll be you and the bats in the church, no one else. So please correct that in your agenda, in your books, August the 31st. As we come to the call to worship, let us stand if you can. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us as we come to worship at this time. Remember that this place stands on the traditional territory of the First Nations people, the Mohawk or Haudenosaunee or Iroquois Confederacy. We thank the native people for sharing this land with us. We are honored to be given the responsibility to protect this land for our use and for the use of our children. We must give thanks for everything that we have received from this land. Now the responsive call to worship will be up on the screens. I will do the lead. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of us as we come to worship. Time to remember that this place stands on the traditional territory of the First Nations people, the Mohawk of Haudenosaunee or Iroquois Confederacy. May we respect this land, living in peace, justice, and tolerance with all who have been here, those who are here now, and those who will come. We thank the native people for sharing this land with us. We are honored to be given the responsibility to protect this land, our use, and also the use of our children. We must give thanks for all we have received from this land. Please be seated as we come to the prayer of approach and confession. Eternal God, you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and yet you come to us afresh each new day.
You breathe new life into what has grown tired and discouraged. You offer healing for what is worn or broken. You restore hope when things seem impossible. You are the source of life and love for all your creatures, and you renew us to put our love for you into action for the well-being of all of your creation. We worship you, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. We offer our prayers and praise to you, our ever-present God, now and always. However, we confess that we have strayed from your purposes. You set a path for us to follow, but we conform to the ways of the world and do not always walk on your path. You have given each of us gifts to use for the work of your kingdom, but we wait for others to do what needs doing. So forgive us for taking the easy way out, and renew us the eagerness and energy that we have to serve you. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 634. Will you come and follow me? It excites me when a hymn that we are about to sing is written in my lifetime. John Bell was born in the Scottish town of Kilmarnock in Ayrshire in 1949. He was intending to be a music teacher when he felt the call to ministry. In frustration with his classes, he did volunteer work in a deprived neighborhood in London for a time, and also served 2 years as associate pastor at the English Reformed Church in Amsterdam. After graduating, he worked as a youth pastor for the Church of Scotland. He then took a similar position with the Iona community, and with his colleague Graham Maul, began to broaden the youth ministry to focus on the renewal of church worship. His approach turned to composing songs with the tradition of hymnody that began to address concerns of the plight of poor people, people who were unemployed, living in a multicultural society, and somehow feeling disenfranchised. The hymn that we are about to sing reflects what we can each do to help our brothers and sisters who are suffering in the world today. Let us sing number 634. Will you come and follow me?
Thank you.
Jamila just reminded me that I did not light the candle to show you that Christ is present with us. Now, as we come to the assurance, the prayer of confession, can we say together the prayer of confession? We are grateful, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, that we perceive only the echoes of great things, the thunder and lightning, the gloom and darkness, the terrible weight of the law reveled upon the mountains. All that distant and perceived dimly, more of a rumor than a blazing fire. Not are we exposed to the glory of the heavenly court, the living word, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the innumerable angels in festal gathering. We do not hear the words of the Sermon on the Mount spoken in such a way that we are struck to the heart with the realization we are meant to live that way. Turning the other cheek, loving our enemies, tossing the world upside down as you did first followers. Now we are safe. We can afford trivialities as if they mattered. We allow ourselves to imagine that our controversies are important. God of revelation, transforming lives, we pray now that we will come to laugh as those who have passed through fire and storm and survived. Joyful for every moment of life granted to us. Grateful for this opportunity to stand in the company of immortals. And praise you for every life intertwined with ours in this church. Once more thunder, once more speak. Our hearts are open. Our hands are ready to serve. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who died for us. That same Jesus Christ who rose for us and reigns in power over us as he prays for us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and set free by God's generous grace. So let us make a fresh start today and forever. Amen. Now, something that we do is passing of the peace, which Reverend Adams, through John Adams, instituted a few years ago. So since we come to worship as a community, I would ask you to go and express thanks to those who have come to worship. Okay, something that I've learned from one of my professors, he was an evangelical minister, and he said he believes that when you read the scriptures, your mind must be relaxed. And he always read the scriptures by listening to a hymn just before he started reading the scriptures. So what I've done is I've asked my wife and my daughter to assist me in singing number 500 to you. All I ask you to do is to sit, close your eyes, and listen as Michelle, Jamila, and I sing hymn number 500. Absorb the words so that when you hear the scriptures, you will be relaxed and absorb the word of the Lord. We have no children, and I prepared a children's story. So guess what? You all become 10-year-olds like we were in 1966 when I was in Trinidad. We needed a way to separate the boys, so we created two groups, those who lived up on the hill and those who lived down in the gutters. Those gutter-dwelling people were terrible. The top-of-the-hill boys were the top-class guys. But as we got older, my mother realized that the village was separated. So she said, what we should do is to build a clubhouse together. That became our fortress, the place where we got together. And she said, if you do that, I will make you coconut ice cream. That was the deal. So we built a clubhouse, a fort, whatever you call it, a rock. Now, I must be honest with you, we were mischievous little boys, but you couldn't do any mischief in your village. So we had to go to the village beside us to steal wood and stuff like that to build our clubhouse. And when we dragged it away at night, no one would see us because it was pitch black and we could build our clubhouse. And when we completed it, we brought our mom who showed us what it is to live as a group. Each of the boys had skills. And my mom also had a skill at making ice cream. Now, what she didn't tell us is that we had a manual ice cream maker. You had to turn it, you had to put ice and crank it around. People today don't know these things. Ice cream comes from Backstrom's, not for us. We had no money to get ice cream from the store. So we turned and we made the ice cream. And that solved the issue. We came together as a community in the rock that we built, the fort that we built. And every Sunday, depending on how much money my mom had to buy milk and sugar and things like that, we had ice cream. The days that we didn't have ice cream, we just went around and borrowed fruit from people's trees while they slept. Now, I must tell you, on Sunday afternoon, after church, most people went to take an afternoon nap. So while they were napping, we were borrowing some fruit from them. And that's how we grew up. As we got older, we realized we needed a way to separate us again. When we went to high school, some of us got bikes. So it was no longer the hilltoppers versus the gutter dwellers. It was the guys with bikes and the guys without bikes. And that came for a couple of years until everybody got bikes. And then the group reformed again. So the message in the story is that we have to work together as a group because each one of us has a skill that we bring to God's house. Together, we have all the skills that cover us. So work with each other to get the skills together. Amen. The prayer of illumination. Let us bow our heads. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the spirit to live in right ways, that we who cannot exist without you may live according to your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 to 6. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, on page 154 of the New Testament portion of the Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The responsive psalm is Psalm 138. And will appear before you on the screens. I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything.
On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from a far way.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
I have chosen hymn number 377 for the hymn that we sing just before I read the Gospels. Come, Children, Join to Sing was written by Christian Henry Bateman, who was born on the 8th of August, 1813, in Wykes, Yorkshire. He was baptized in the Moravian Church. Now, not much is known of his early education. He went to college and studied arts and theology. He graduated and became an assistant minister in the Moravian Church. But then he was called to the Church of England. He also ministered at the Richmond Place Congregational Church in Edinburgh, Scotland, and successful congregational parishes in Hopton, Yorkshire, and Reading, Berkshire. At 56, he took holy orders in the Anglican Church and served as the curate and vicar in several Anglican parishes. The poem, Come Christians Join to Sing, was written by Mr. Bateman and put to music by an anonymous person. Some people say the poem was remixed from an earlier version of another poem written by William Edward Hickson, Join Now in Praise and Sing. Bateman died in Carlisle, Cumberland on the 27th of July, 1889. Let us sing number 377. Now, from the Gospels, I'd like to read you Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, the profession of Peter's faith. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will never prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Now, before I start my sermon, there are a lot of people that I have to thank. People who have formed my training as a lay minister. It starts off with Reverend Ruth, who told me that I had the skills to do it. And then Reverend Rennie, who told me that I have a gift. Now, most people don't know, but I will tell you, Johnine Rennie has given me all of the books that Fred had made meticulous notes in about the songs and the authors and where they came from and what they were thinking and what they were doing. That's why every time we sing a song, I give you 1 minute of information of where the song came from. I'd also like to thank the people who have cleaned this church, the people who prepared it for us, the people who have prepared the snacks, the coffee. I'd like to thank the choir. I'd like to thank the technical team, our pianist, and all of you here and those online who have dialed in to listen to me. Now, when I look at the world these days, I see a planet that's crying out, crying for attention, crying for many people who are being taken advantage of. We also see many people profiteering from the misery of the people who are being disadvantaged. I ask these questions: what are we doing as a people? We seem to have a mixed race breed of people. Mixed breed meaning they want many things. Not that they need these things, but they want them. Some people pursue ill thought out actions. They keep driving those actions. And if left unchallenged, those actions may become a reality. This is a global shift in thinking that worries me. Some decisions are made to capitalize on one set of people getting richer on the shoulders of the others. We are not living in the world that Jesus told Peter to build. He told Peter, "You have the keys. You build the church on the rock." Al Jazeera, the coverage of the news in the Middle East, has a lot of pictures and ask, is this the direction that civilization is heading towards? Now, from my point of view, it is painful. What is happening hurts me. And I'm sure this is not the rock that was painted to Peter. Greed has overrun some of us. Maybe you know who I'm talking about. Our prime minister said they offered little but wanted everything in his speech to the Canadian people two nights ago. Now, is this what the Spirit is teaching us? When we read the gospel this morning, what lesson did we get? We are all people with mixed things. We are not in balance. We have different qualities. Some of the qualities we polish to try to get us to follow the path that Jesus Christ is making for us. Yes, he's making a path for you to follow. Sometimes we ask for guidance. And then as soon as we finish asking for guidance, we open our eyes, get up, and walk away. We don't listen to his response. When you finish prayer, you have to wait a while to listen to the response that God tells you. In today's gospel, Jesus said to Peter, and I quote, "On this rock you will build my church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, Peter's confession of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is the rock on which Jesus intends to build his church. Now, what were the reasons that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom? Peter's answer was correct. His confession happened at that particular moment, under particular circumstances. His result was the Spirit moving on him. So let us ask this question. Peter was a mixed bag, yet Jesus chose him to build the church. Jesus chose him to get the keys of the kingdom. Have you ever thought of yourself as the rock on which the church should be built? Have you ever thought of yourself as the person who's going to inherit the keys to the kingdom? I have. And sometimes my answers don't make any sense to me. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord is stirring in my mind. But handing me the keys to the kingdom? Maybe you're thinking the same thing. I am getting the keys to the kingdom? What am I going to do with it? Yes, the Spirit of the Lord is stirring in all of us. I have thought about this many times, and I pursued this thought pattern from Trinidad to Canada. Now, when I was born, I was handed a hand of cards. Maybe it was a good hand, maybe not so good a hand. My father died when I was 6, but my mother was very strong-willed and instilled in our mind the powers that come from her having the Spirit living in her head. And she passed that on to us. I remember her telling me, there is always a way for you to rise up above the poverty that we were in. She instilled that thinking in our minds. Today, a voice still descends on me whenever I need guidance. As I mentioned, Reverend Ruth showed me how to construct a stirring service. Reverend Dr. Fred showed me the link with the hymns and what the people were thinking and how to link it to the scriptures. In addition, Johnny and Rennie gave me all of Fred's books, and I looked to other leaders, Marianne Emig Carr, Jeff Howard, Ian McMillan, even Reverend Adams, our own minister. I copied things from him. He and all the ministers that I lean on, going back to Jonathan Dent and John Crowdis, always explain to me what you have to do, how to do it, and why it is done this way. I call this first principles from my engineering background. Everything has to be tracked back to solid foundational thinking using the first principles of equation. In my personal life, I was perceived as a very tough cookie. I used to be very aggressive. Some people say I'm still aggressive, but that's another discussion for another day. And I gave other engineering folks a very difficult time when they couldn't understand the simple concept. One day in 1999, the VP of engineering came to me and says, "Keppel, I want you to change the way you do things. I want you to reach out to those people who are asking questions and show them what they should be doing, how to do it, and why. In your sphere of influence, this will have a much bigger impact. Don't give them the answer. Guide them and stroke them and push them towards the answer." I thought about it. And I think it was in that time that the Spirit settled on my engineering brain. So let's open the bag of Peter's life. Let us see what we find. The way of guiding people changed my perspective. I am sure when we think of this, we can guide people ourselves. Now, Peter correctly answered the questions of Jesus. He replied, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter had enough faith to walk on water, yet he had enough fear to sink like a rock. That's from Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 33. Who does not know what it's like to live in tension between faith and fear, sink or swim? Peter gets it when nobody else does. When many of Jesus' disciples were turning their backs to him, he asked Peter, "Peter, do you also wish to go?" Peter looked at him and answered, "Lord, to whom shall I turn?" There was only one answer. Now, Peter often lived at the extremes. He could be stubborn and convinced that he shouldn't do things. Maybe we are all like that. Some world leaders act in this irrational way. And I hope that some of these leaders can take a few minutes to let the Spirit descend on them so that the Spirit can infiltrate their way of thinking and they can start treating their neighbors with respect and work together to create a better community. It's what we see of Jesus washing Peter's feet. "You will never wash my feet," Peter said. But Jesus replied, "Unless I wash your feet, you will have no share of me." Then Peter wanted everything washed, not just his feet, also his hands and his head. That's taken from John chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I can build three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Maybe it is a spectrum we all live in. We have all had mountaintop experiences. And we all have days when we wondered if this faith journey is getting us where we want to be. Or is it making a difference in our lives? When we look around at the many countries living in conflict, we should wonder, do we really deserve to have the keys to the kingdom? Peter commits himself to Jesus, saying, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." Jesus then took Peter, James, and John to pray with him in Gethsemane. He was grieving, he was agitated, and he needed their presence to support him. Peter will in fact deny Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. It's when the cock crows that he wakes up and realizes that he needs the Spirit to descend on him. What happened to "Blessed be the pacemakers" when they tried to arrest Jesus and Peter drew his sword? So there's the rock on which the church is built. There's the ring on which the keys of the kingdom hang. Is Peter deserving of getting the keys to build the church? Jesus never goes to Peter and says, "Peter, you know, I don't think you're doing a good job. Give me my keys back." He never says that to you or I. He keeps working with us, even though we stray from his path and we do not always listen to what he's telling us. He never says to Peter, "I think I'm going to find another rock. You're not the one. I am rejecting you as the cornerstone." But Peter is the one, and so are you, and so am I. We are the ones on whom this church is built. We have been entrusted with the keys of the kingdom. We are not fully ready to receive it. We are in training. There is a Spirit working on each and every one of us. We have all things that are wrong with us, some things that are wrong with us, things that are being corrected. But we need us to be together as a community so that when we ask for a skill, somewhere in the crowd, someone will have it. When I look in the mirror at my life, I see faithfulness and commitment. Michelle and I volunteered as marshals on the MS ride last weekend. And as a marshal, we tend to people who may get flat tires, people who have fallen down, people who need help as we ride. My guess is that your life may have similar events. You stop to help people with the skills that you have. Now, the Spirit guides us, gives us three guiding principles. Feed the lambs, tend the sheep, and feed the sheep. It is what Jesus told Peter to do. We are being told the same thing. Take care of each other. Take care of your friends, neighbors, and even strangers. Together, we hold all the skills, in spite of being able to do some things well and some things not so well. But use the skills that you are good at, the tools and resources that we have been given, and build the church on the rock as the foundation. I feel the Spirit descended on me when I saw the mess that was happening in the gym. I felt overwhelmed. Even when I was riding last week, we came to within 14 kilometers of the end, and my legs started to give out. Michelle told me, stop, have some salt, and rest. And she was right, because within 5 minutes, the cramps in the legs went away, and I was able to finish. When we share our skills, all of the bases are covered. As we sat a couple of weeks ago with the challenges that we faced in the roof, I could see the people's face. We were very dejected. But then the Spirit descended on us. We formed a plan and we started getting the footwork together to make this plan happen. And as that Spirit descended to us and we saw the plan coming, our spirits were lifted. I could feel the Spirit moving. It's a good feeling to have. There is power in each and every one of us. All we need to do is to use the power that God gave us to help each other. And as you are helping people, other people will be helping you. Look deeply into the mixed skills that you have in your life. Yes, you and I, we all have skills. And let's use these skills to help each other to build the church as solid as the rock. We have been chosen, and the Spirit has left us the keys. Amen. Man is created in the likeness and the image of God, but through Adam's transgression, sin came into the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was manifested to undo the works of the devil and gave his life and shed his blood to redeem and restore man back to God. I ask now that we read in unison the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the summer season, we celebrate God's precious gift to us in the crops that we have planted and that we will soon be reaping or have already started reaping. As we present our gifts to God, may our generosity reflect God's goodness to us and the hope that we have found in him. The offerings will now be received. We have received all that we have from your bounty. Bless the gifts we bring to your church today. We ask your guidance for the church leaders so that they can use these gifts to continue doing the work here in this community and beyond. Thanks be to God for all that we have received. Amen. As we come to the prayer of the people and the Lord's Prayer, let us bow our heads. When I pray, I'll pray for you. I will call your name in my prayer. When you pray, will you pray for me? Will you call my name in your prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us. You equip us with gifts to work for your kingdom, bringing justice and peace to every land and community. Thank you, O God. You give the gift of prophecy. With this gift, you can empower the church to speak words of justice. So guide us to bring change in the world and hope to the hopeless through your Son, Jesus Christ. With this gift, encourage your servant's church to work with those made vulnerable by structures of power and privilege. Show us how to share the abundance of Canada with lives and communities that often lack even the basic resources. With the inspiration of your Spirit, you give us a gift of teaching. As a church that values teaching, engage us to support access to education for every child. We pray for the teachers and students as they prepare themselves for another year of working together. Help us to encourage each person who shares in learning this year. Through the love and compassion of Jesus Christ, you give the gift of encouragement to us all. As a congregation, show us where and how to reach out to uplift others. Through the examples of prophets and apostles, you give the gift of leadership to the leaders within the church to build our ministry. Call our leaders, call all the leaders of the nations together, and instill in their minds your Spirit. God, we are grateful for all of the people in whom we meet. Inspire us to add our energy and experience to care for these followers of yours. As we prepare to leave, we acknowledge that your Spirit will guide us through the coming week and get us through all of the challenges that we face. With memories of the grace you have shown us and with confidence that you will show us more, we pray that all people will come to life-giving joy, to know life-giving joy through our resurrected Savior. We pray for those who are feeling fearful, worried, or overwhelmed in these days of economic pressure and uncertainty. This includes the federal workers earmarked for job sharing or other people who are threatened by AI functions. Pray for them. Keep them strong. We pray for those who face violence and unrest each day in countries around the world, including Iran, Gaza, Ethiopia, Chad, Nigeria, Niger, Syria, Sudan, Ukraine, Afghanistan, and Yemen. Please end the starvation and bloodshed in these countries and in our own community. Lord Jesus, reveal to all of these people your presence. We pray for our national, provincial, and municipal leaders as they seek to find solutions regarding the lack of a contract between the U.S. and Canada. Lord, reveal to these leaders your Spirit, give them the wisdom and compassion to show that we can live as a community. We pray for our congregation and for churches in our presbytery who have lost their ministers to retirement in the last few months. Please keep them strong. Send people to continue spreading your word here in our community. We pray for our neighbors, especially those struggling with rising costs, scarce housing, and those who know rejection and discrimination. Pray for them and keep them strong. We also ask that you return Reverend Adams to us safely after his vacation. We pray for all those who are ill, in pain, in grief. We remember before you silently those who we know who are suffering. Bring them comfort and strength. God, our Maker, hear our prayers. And as you taught your disciples to say, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 321. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Joachim Neander was born in Bremen, Germany in 1650. He could not afford to go to university after the death of his father. He studied theology in his hometown from 1666 to 1670. He graduated as a German Calvinist teacher and songwriter. The hymn that we are about to sing has been described as a magnificent hymn of praise to God, perhaps the finest creation of its author, and one that's ranked first in its class. Due to the popularity, it has been translated into many languages. Catherine Winkworth translated it from German to English. Neander wrote about 60 hymns and provided tunes for many of them. He is regarded as the first hymn writer in German of the Reformed Church, as well as a notable poet. In 1679, Neander became an assistant pastor of St. Martin's Church in Bremen. 1 year later, at the age of 30, he succumbed to tuberculosis. Let's sing number 321.
Praise God.
As we leave, I would like you to consider the gifts that God has given you. Find ways to offer yourself with generosity, diligence, and cheerfulness to everyone that you meet. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.